Thank you for listening to Preaching the Word with Nathan Deitch.
Welcome to another lesson in the first principles of the apostles. Today's lesson comes from that second book in the series called Belonging to the Family of Families. And this lesson is the fourth lesson in that book. Today's lesson is entitled Living Within a Family of Families. As I mentioned in our last session, living within a family of believers during the early church, they had something known as a household text. These texts fell into one of two types of groups, either individual households for families or texts for larger communities. In the last session, we focused on how the scripture has an individual household text. And in this session, we're going to focus on how the scripture also has household text designed for the community of God. 1 and 2 Timothy, as well as Titus, have great examples of household texts and guidelines for a local church, which is the family of families. The community household texts deal with the order of relationships within the local church. This is very similar as to how they are ordered in the individual family. Instead of talking to husbands, wives, and children in these letters, it talks to elders, deacons, older men, older women, younger women, and widows. One of the most basic household texts is found in Titus chapter 2, 1 through 15, which we will study today. Beginning at verse 1, Titus 2, 1 through 15 reads, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They're to teach what's good, and so train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They're to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, and training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." We see that this passage of Titus is set in the middle of a letter written by the Apostle Paul to Titus. One of his key protégés, who had become a local pastor. The passage is written in the style of that day as a household text, and in this case, it addressed the larger community of the local church. Earlier in chapter 1, verse 5, Paul had told Titus that he had left him on the island of Crete to set in order what remains in the church. The phrase, to set in order, means completing what is not yet done. Titus was to complete what was not yet done in the churches. Paul began by telling Titus to appoint men as elders in every church. He was looking for men of good character, good managers of their own households, who knew the teachings of Christ so well that they implemented them into their own lives and were now teaching others to do the same. Men who had led their own families well and were able to be part of a team of elders who could shepherd the whole community of God and thus keep the church solid and stable in the teaching of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul then starts by calling this teaching sound doctrine. Sound doctrine refers to doctrine that's functioning as it was intended to. It's healthy in the body of Christ. The Apostle tells us that older men are to be sound in character and in faith, that their lives are to be set in order according to their faith, and also the older women are to be godly and possess good attitudes towards authority, avoiding gossip. And they're to teach the younger women how to live correctly in their homes and in the church community. The younger men, like the older men, are to be sound in character and in doctrine, with special commitment to having a good reputation for doing good deeds. And finally, the slaves are to have an attitude of respect for the head of the home, which they're legally bound to, even while in the larger community of believers. Let's examine some things from this passage about how we're to live in the community of the local church. First, men are to be sound in the faith. This is critical when other teachings come into the church. Men are responsible for teaching their own households and must keep them from being upset when other teachings invade their community. Second, women are to keep their households from being upset internally through gossip or not being content with their own families. Paul here is not saying women cannot do anything outside of the home, but rather that women are to be the stable heart of the home. This whole instruction is for the benefit of the larger community life in the local church. Another key teaching that's throughout the instructions is that all people are to have sound and sensible living. The literal idea is having a balanced life. While the idea of having a balanced life and balanced priorities is intended here, there is more. When we live in a balanced, godly, sound life in local church community and in our own home, we make an impact for the gospel of Jesus. We live a life that fulfills the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. Notice how Paul completes several of his points, saying, so that the word of God may not be dishonored, and in order that the opponent may be put to shame. He also says, that they may adorn the gospel of God, our Savior, in every respect. The way we live in our community of believers makes a difference, and it impacts our mission for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is also true for the way we live in our own homes, and doesn't that make sense? As the family and church community disintegrate in our Western culture, we can have a powerful witness for Christ before the watching world. As the Apostle Paul said, where evil abounds, grace abounds all the more. We can be a light in the darkness for others. Just one final thought. Some who may be listening may still be wondering if these directions or instructions are still right for us today. Please listen again to Titus 2:15. It says, "Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." I don't know if it could have been stated any stronger. Titus was to set in order the churches, and he was not to let anyone disregard his teaching. He was to speak with all authority. For us to disregard this teaching today is to disregard Christ's entire design for the family and for his church. Before we wrap up today, let me leave you with one question. Why do you think God designed the functioning of his household, the church, the way he did? God bless you.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings.